know some of y'all are Ayn Rand fans. I continue to turn it. Missed it, but didn't say mine. I thought about that thing, and I heard a pastor a few months ago saying about his parents, his mom, telling him about something he had done, and he couldn't figure out what love had to do. She said, I'm with you, come out of love. And I thought about me coming up. Me and Cora, AJ. I was talking to one of my homegirls the other day. I was cutting the grass. I had a grandson with me. She said, boy, we used to have to run your granddad down and his mama get ready to whip. We all could outrun him because he wore braces. But he could run up under the house and he could go faster under the house. But we'd bring it to his mama. And mama would be taking my tail. She'd say, Lord, whip me. Because I'm there. And I can imagine back then, 5 or 6 years old, I'm looking at mama with big old alligator tears in my eyes. And I'm asking the question, what love you got to do with that? Well, I just didn't get it. If you love me, it don't look like you ought to hit me. If you hit me, it look to me like you must be mad at me. And it can't be no love there. But as I grew, came to understand one day I was flipping through this Bible and I came across this particular verse of scripture in John, the 13th chapter. And that 35th verse, and everybody else, so all men that you are my disciples, have love one boy. And as I thought about it, I looked on this particular gospel card and thank God. I saw it where in the first 12 verses, John was preaching to his disciples about him being the light of the world. I'm just going to convince this thing. I ain't going to keep y'all too long. About him being the light of the world. And then we got to that 12th verse, he made a turn, and he knowing that he was headed to the cross, and he was going to have to leave his disciples here. And he was going to have to go back to the Father that said that he switched over and went to tell them about the love he had for them and the love that they should have for one another. Then you keep reading, you'll find out about that 17th chapter. And he goes on to tell his disciples about how to live a godly life on this earth. And Jesus was teaching. I hear a lot of folks say that you need to start with. But it seemed to me that John was writing to those who that already believed. I noticed that John, when you look, John started off, he went all the way back down the corridor and turned it. He started off by just jumping out saying, in the beginning was the Word. Yeah, he didn't waste no time talking about the immaculate conception of Jesus being born of a virgin or anything like that. He just went all the way back. As far as if you look, and as far as your mind can do, you probably think he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And when you look down, and if you still look back just as far as you could look, it says that wasn't anything made that wasn't made by Him. And I don't paraphrase this thing, so I want y'all to stay with me. But when you when, when you look, if you look back as far as you can down that corridor of eternity, you'll see Jesus jumping out. Yeah, you see, John don't talk anything about him coming down through 42 generations or anything like that. He just jumped and said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That as of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Brother Mac was saying it was God's grace. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's talking about Jesus right then and there. I'm still trying to figure out what's love got to do. I got to go back, and then I got to go back to the first part of this 13th chapter. It was a feast of the Passover. Jesus had called just his disciples.
Yes.
And they were in an upper room. And can you imagine Jesus calling his disciples together, and he started just to expound on them about love. And then not only did he start, but he demonstrated. Can you imagine him coming all the way from glory, and as he got from glory to earth, he took on the form of a servant. Yeah, the Bible says, you read your Bible. It said he girded himself, and he wrapped this towel around. And you know what the thing about during those times, a slave was the one that girded the towel and washed the feet of the travelers. I want you to understand what Jesus was doing. It was the demonstration of his power. He girded himself with the towel and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And he told them, he said, as I have done with you, you ought to do also to your fellow man. And so many times we get caught up with the foot washing aspect, not knowing the real meaning of the foot washing aspect. The feet represent our walk with Christ. You got to understand what was going on. When our walk with Christ gets dirty, it separates us from the fellowship that we have with. I ain't making this up. If you just keep reading, you'll find out that Peter said, well, I tell you what, just wash me all over. Yeah, Peter said that. But before Peter said that, oh no, you don't need to wash my feet. And Jesus plainly told him, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no fellowship with me. And Peter got excited when he found out through the washing of the feet, he'd have a closer relationship with Christ. So he said, look, just wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head also. But Jesus spoke a profound word to Peter. He said, y'all stay with me. He said, he who is washed need not to be washed. But there is some that's with us that hasn't been washed. In other words, he was saying, see, during this time now, there were public places where you bathed. And the men of the city went and bathed at these public places. But as they walked back to their home through the city, they got dirt on their feet and on their sandals, which represent the sin of the world. And as they got home, they needed to have their feet washed.
All right.
I'm going to help somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. See, because there's somebody whose walk is dirty. And it's one thing I found out in my short life and being from a family with 10 children, if one got stinky feet, it's going to go a lot. You ever been in a room with somebody that took their shoes off and their feet wasn't there? It just stinks. Well, so it is
in the church. If there's one in the church who don't have the right fellowship with Christ, it just makes the whole church smell. What's love? You got to do it. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love is of God, and God is love. So you got to have the love in your heart for your fellow man, for your walk with Christ, to be right. So every Sunday, all over this nation, there are those that sit in church and refuse to see that I'm a sinner saved by grace, but those that are in the street acknowledge that they are sinners. But they're looking in on the church, and before they can get to the gospel, they get to the gossip, and when they get the gossip, it's always about those inside. What's love got to do with it? Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you love yourself, in most instances, you won't make yourself the butt of the church. Yeah, in most